Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
It is a 7:20. Dr. Carl is our Wednesday scientist. Good morning. How are you doing?
Dr. Howard, lovely to be with you again.
It is great to be with you. Can you believe we are still talking about ivermectin? Can they not let it go? It's like they're like,
well, there are
it's
some
a cryptocurrency.
Who do actually
traders.
Reckon that the earth is flat. They're just plain wrong. It doesn't matter how many times they say it, they're still wrong. And the seven times tables is right. Doesn't matter how many times they reckon they're wrong.
Thank you. You know what? You just talked me off that ledge of the flat earth, obviously. But either way, so we've got some questions from listeners, and one listener is absolutely desperate for your help. Maybe you can help him. Nobody else has been able to. He says, good morning. Here's my question for Dr. Carl. Why do I have such sensitive skin? It's mainly on my back. I need to apply aqueous cream every morning, every evening to relieve the pain. I can use sensitive soap only, use phosphate-free washing powder. I take fish oil, vitamins to stay pain-free. The dryness of the pain is like sunburn. I can only wear very soft cotton shirts. I've had this for 32 years and counting. No medical specialist can put a finger on it. Dr. Carl, please help me.
Well, it'd be very difficult for me to do what people who actually see you face to face cannot do. So I'm assuming that you've gone down the pathway of seeing a GP and the same GP who treats you all the time, so that way they build up a body of knowledge about you and they know your body and then have referred you to the appropriate specialist. There's a few things that could be going on, so let me just pick with something that's relatively easy. Mm-hmm. So forget about dermatographia. Let's just stick with something easy. I have not used soap on my body, Dr. Howard, for several decades. I do not wash with soap.
What do you wash?
Soap
what
is
do you
evil.
Use?
I was working in the dermatology department at the kids' hospital in Sydney, and we had kids coming in who had skin that was so bright red, you know, from dermatitis or eczema. It was so bright red that it looked as though you'd sprayed them with red spray paint. Oh. So what we used to do was take them entirely off soap. You see, soap is very effective at removing the layer of fat on your skin. But in some people, especially people who have a genetic origin from the northern parts of Europe, especially with those with red hair, Irish, Scottish people, they can have very sensitive skin. And what happens is that the soap removes all the fat off their skin, which is what a soap is supposed to do. And then the fat is replaced both from two causes. One, the natural decay of your skin cells, which happens at a certain rate, and also from sebum. In some people, they end up with too much sebum being made by the sebaceous glands. Then they're unlucky enough to be invaded by bacteria such as Aerobacter, which then, as they go through their life cycle, make free fatty acids, which are almost as corrosive as sulfuric acid in very dilute quantities. And the cure? Sorbolene with 10% glycerin. I do not know if this product is available in Africa, although Africa is huge. Sorbolene, S-O-R-B-O-L-E-N-E, with 10% glycerin. And so ever since I was working as a doctor in the kids' hospital, I gave up using soap except on my hands. And everywhere else, I use sorbolene. So I reach into the bucket of sorbolene. I prefer to go for the thin paste rather than liquid. I get a volume roughly equal to the tip of my little finger, the last digit where it bends. And then I rub that between my two hands. I try to make a lather. You can't. But I spread it out, and I do one arm and one armpit. Do it again for the other arm, other armpit. One for the front, one for the back, one for the groin, one for one leg, the other leg, and so I go. And I wash it all off. And this changes the bacteria living on your skin. So it takes a couple of weeks to adjust. This might work for you. It might not. Other than that, I would go straight back to the medical people and say, come on, fix it to the best of your ability.
And Mark, I do hope that that helped you at in some way. And then Sip wants to know, please ask him why we can't just have summer without winter in between, because here in Johannesburg it was getting warm, then all of a sudden we've had just a little bit of a winter snap all the way in November. Why does that happen?
It happens because God made a mistake and made the planet Earth tilted at about 23 degrees from the vertical relative to the plane of the sun. If the Earth was dead vertical, or parallel, the north-south axis of the Earth was parallel to the north-south axis of the Sun, we'd have the same temperature year in, year out. But because it's tilted, sometimes the North Pole is pointing towards the Sun, sometimes the South Pole, hence summer and winter. How to get rid of summer and winter? Tip the Earth back vertically, 23 degrees, shouldn't be too hard once we learn how to apply our forces.
Okay, very, very interesting. Unsigned wants to know, does sorbeline work for fungus as well?
No, fungus is a whole different thing, and fungus is difficult to deal with. The trouble there is that we are genetically closely related to the fungus.
Ooh.
We are closer to the fungus, to the mold growing on the shoes in the back of your cupboard, than we are to the mighty trees. And so drugs that attack fungus will also attack us. Fungus is hard. Once again, get your GP to refer you to an infectious diseases officer.
All right, and one of our listeners have just sent me a link. You definitely can get sorbeline. It says sorbeline cetomacrogel cream here in South Africa. So you definitely can get it here. Is it better to use that than pure glycerin?
You want to use that with, you need a sorbeline with 10% glycerin is the best overall for most people.
Right.
It's relatively cheap, maybe $4 for 500 grams.
Right.
Hey, I go through kilograms of the stuff every year.
Really, really interesting. All right, let's take a look at some of the other questions that we wanted to ask you. Why is bird poo always white?
It's a result of dealing with the problem of getting rid of nitrogen. A bit of nitrogen is good, too much is bad. So if you live in the ocean, like a fish or like a tortoise that lives in the ocean, the way you get rid of the nitrogen is you marry one nitrogen atom to three atoms of hydrogen. It's called ammonia. It's toxic. Ammonia is toxic, but it just dilutes into the local water environment. The water dilutes it, and then creatures break it down, so that's fine. If there's lots of water, you get rid of your excess nitrogen as ammonia. We humans don't have a lot of water around, so we get rid of our nitrogen in a chemical called urea, and that appears in the urine. It's water soluble. If you wee on the grass too much, it can kill the grass. And then finally, if you're a creature that's living with not much water around, like a tortoise living on an arid environment, or you don't want to carry too much water around if you're a bird and you want to fly, you turn the nitrogen into uric acid, C5H4N4O3, which is a small solid that is not water soluble. So what would the birds do is that they get rid of their feces into a place called the cloaca. So we humans have got one place for getting rid of liquid waste, another place for solid waste. Birds, they've just got one place called the cloaca, Latin for sewer. And the feces go in there as well as the solid uric acid. So that means that bird droppings are a mix of feces and uric acid. However, the feces do get produced first and often then get capped by the uric acid. So in the case of a domestic fowl, a chicken, you'll see that there's a sort of a off-white fibrous mass capped with a little dollop of the white uric acid. And the other reason that the birds want to get rid of their nitrogen as uric acid is that they deliver their young in an egg, and they, in that egg, they turn from a fertilized cell into a complete bird with feathers. And if they have a waste product that's available to damage the embryo, that's bad. So instead they generate uric acid, which doesn't dissolve and won't damage the embryo. On the other hand, if the bird does like to eat lots of mulberries, then you can have reddish or bluish, purpley poo.
Wow. And certainly we have learned a lot this morning. Dr. Cole, thank you as always. It's just gone 7:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.